Did you guys finish all of Luke yesterday when I couldn't make it?
Talk about trust. Trust in God. Proverbs 3. I was just thinking about it this minute of how a dead man can't really trust. You know, I mean, we would like to think trust.
Those that are there to show us where we're not dead.
Yeah, that is what it is.
So what is if he's your life?
Yeah.
All right, we're still looking at the burnt offering. Let's go to Leviticus 1. You understand that most people see Christ only as one delivered for our offenses or for our sin. And so their forgiveness of sin, and that's wonderful. But positionally, those that do that are still locked in the world, hiding under the blood of the doorpost. That's what gives them their... And that's fine, I guess. I mean, I'm not... It's not my business to judge them, but there's so much more that's available to us. And that's what we can see clearly if we understand the burnt offering. So, God sees the burnt offering first. For if it wasn't acceptable, then none of the other offerings would have been acceptable. So in Christ, he sees the burnt offering first.
So then the burnt offering is the total picture. Then it's divided into parts that show the different aspects
No. The burnt offering is a sweet savor offering. It doesn't have anything to do with sin or trespass. You never even see it. It's really, that's what we're going to look at right now in Leviticus. Leviticus 1. Verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt offering, burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now, of his own voluntary will is not translated right. The right translation said, he shall offer it for his acceptance. Now, he's also offering it of his voluntary will. All burnt offerings are voluntary. But the literal translation is, he shall offer it for his acceptance. Now, this thing about acceptance, the burnt offering was offered to God for the offerer's acceptance. And acceptance of what? Remember, all the other offerings have already been made. All of the washings were done outside the camp. The sin offering and the trespass offering were burned outside the camp. The blood was thrown around the altar. And then the peace offering and the meal offering and the burnt offering were offered. But the only one that's talked about that's a offering for his acceptance is the burnt offering. And it has to come when there is no more guilt. You've seen the mystery of your death and the sin offering. You've seen that all of your screw-ups are covered in the trespass offering. And now you see that you're offering for your acceptance. Now, the evidence that it was accepted was, in the, initially here, is a fire came down from God and burnt that offering. Now, this is just about as big as it gets in terms of us. If we know that we know that we know that we are accepted by God, then it really is a definition of freedom. Now, no man could ever meet the standard, but Jesus Christ did. But that Jesus Christ can't be mixed with you. That's why the sin offering killed you. Now, these were the fundamental things that all of the ancients that saw his day and were glad, this is what they saw. You're doing something.
I just had some of this stuff.
Huh?
I was just seeing something different than what you're talking about, and I got a clog in my throat.
Okay, let's look at acceptance in the New Testament and see how this is how important it is. First go to Philippians 4. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Now they were seeing the gifts that he was given for to meet the needs of the poor in Jerusalem was a sweet savor offering. Now, that kind of stretches it, but it's what he saw. So let's go to Romans 12 and see this what a little bit different.
What? I'm
just wanting to get that.
Yeah.
All right, go back to Philippians. Go back up to this is all about appreciation for something, starting in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received Aphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So you're seeing he's appreciating a gift that was sent from this church to meet his need.
That seems pretty close to me to the peace offering.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also a sweet-smelling savor.
Okay.
That's what I'm...
Makes sense,
but the word is acceptable.
Right, but
Okay, so the same thing is true, would be true for the...
Okay.
I'm just talking about the word acceptable as applied to the offering.
I understand. I still have a question. Is that I want to confirm something. The peace offering is the one that was shared by everybody. The priest got some, the guy got some, the people got some.
Right.
And Paul here is being the Levite, basically, the priest. So
the
there is a lot of correlation.
But only for the sweet savor offerings.
Yeah, obviously it's not a sweet savor, so this is multiple offerings that it covers. I just wanted to make sure I'm understanding one of them completely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go back to Romans 12 now. Well, let's start in Romans 11:33. We always do this. Or I always do it. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now because of that, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the highest that reason can take you. And this is acceptable here, is critical. And it's critical because once you present your body the living sacrifice, you die, he lives. And so all Christ sees in you then is this acceptance of the offering. But if you keep you alive, it's never, you got to understand, it's never been you. It's been the evil one masquerading as you. You've always been a vessel for deity. You've never been an independent self. Now that'll hurt your brain. Does anybody, do you truly understand that, or do you think you were an independent self?
I believe that, you know, I mean, I know my mind would like to not be, but I believe what you're saying. I also see it does say a living sacrifice.
Right, he lives. You die.
I know.
That's what sacrifice means,
that
death.
The thing is that this is part of the deal about, I mean, you always said that taking the abdomen is like breathing. Well, I think it's like breathing for a reason, because I'm constantly going back and forth. That I make it right, that's what happens. You know, that I'm constantly back and forth between these two opinions. You know, whether I'm doing something or whether I'm dead and Christ is doing something. Who knows who's doing something? Who knows who just said that? I don't know.
That's why you abandon yourself.
Well, if I don't know who did it, then maybe I did abandon myself. I don't know. For the next 2 seconds.
All right. Well, the whole idea is that it's that this presenting yourself as this living sacrifice. You're presenting yourself without condition. It is what we call in other places supplication. You put your head in the lion's mouth. No matter what happens, is no longer your business. There's no thing about your life that is anymore your business. You have abandoned yourself, and he lives. Now, that is the highest that reason can take you, is what this says. And it's the thing that it's acceptable unto God. That's the only way that it is any part of you is acceptable unto God. Okay? All right. Now,
Tristan, I started taking notes.
What?
I've been doing it so much lately. Okay. Are you taking notes? All right. No.
See, so you take better notes. Dueling notepads.
Yeah.
This is why the exhortation is to examine yourself. As far as I know, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. Examine yourself. Prove to your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. No. And there can't be two of you in there.
It's like the mystery of marriage. There's two, but there's one.
The mystery of marriage, both are alive. In the mystery of Christ, you're dead. You've never been alive. That's what you have to understand. You've always been a vessel for the instead of Christ. You've never been an independent. You don't have the power to raise yourself from the dead. He does. And he waits and looks for every opportunity to do it. You're not in the picture. Your baptism sealed that. Flesh is no more to be tested in any way. Back to Leviticus a minute. Leviticus 1.
It seems like there's competition. Who's going to raise you from the dead? You're going to raise yourself. Satan's going to raise you. God's going to raise you. But you don't exist.
There's no competition. Jesus Christ was risen, has risen, is risen from the dead. That's why examine yourself, prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except
you can't repent. So.
But in the other, though, I'm talking about, if this doesn't capture you, then nothing will make sense. There will always be a battle of which one am I talking to. And again, it's the exact opposite of what happened to us. We learned that these scratches mean something, and our grunts and groans mean words, and we went through all that before. And so then we've learned all these value systems from everybody in our own, and then pretty soon we come along and it says, oh crap, all this is just nothing. We've reached poverty. Then Christ can be revealed. He has always been there. He is alive. There's only the battle is not even in, you're not in it. The battle is against only the evil one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against this evil one. There's this incredible need to keep yourself alive at any cost. But it isn't you you're keeping alive. That's what has to be understood. That's why it's so radical to know that you are the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. That's why it says, test the spirits. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that he is come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that Antichrist. The Antichrist confesses he did come and he will come, but it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is come. I mean, you don't just, it's not just the words, you have to live it for it to be a confession. All right, back to Leviticus, chapter 1. The one we studied before, verse 3, if his offering be a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will, or he shall offer it for acceptance at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement. That's a new thing. The offering make atonement. In the past, we've studied that atonement was meant that our sins were forgiven because the blood of Christ was made atonement. Here we have the sacrifice itself, the burnt offering, maketh atonement, maketh acceptable, maketh acceptance. You then can be a partaker of the heavenly calling. You then can eat the food where Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know not of. Now you can eat that food. It can be for your sustenance and satisfaction in the same way that it's for the sustenance and satisfaction of Jesus Christ and of God. So you're eating the same food as God in Christ. Now that's a big deal. You're no longer eating dust. The snake was condemned to eat dust all the days of his life. By his belly he shall be led.
This again is like a picture of the afterlife, where he says, I am that food, you know.
Amen.
And then in the afterlife, we eat that bread, perhaps not even fully understanding what we're doing, but that's symbolism.
Right. You have to, when you eat the bread, you are confessing your death. That's the meaning of the afterlife. And you're confessing his life. Brought forth bread from the earth. You're not the bread, he is. You're not the sacrifice that's acceptable, he is. He has to be your life. As he is in the world, so are we. All right. He was the offer, he was the offering, he was the priest, he was the one that accepted it. It's just all these different pictures of his office.
Right. Right.
Otherwise, the offerings are just gibberish.
Yeah, and if we think we're righteous enough to make an offering, well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, the word atonement here and elsewhere means simply making satisfaction. Now it means either of two things. To satisfy a loving and holy requirement, the burnt offering. To satisfy offended justice, the sin offering. That's what atonement, making satisfaction, making acceptable. And if you can understand that his offering, his one offering made you acceptable forever. Your mind cannot understand. Your mind cannot comprehend, I mean, that's impossible.
Part of this mystery, I think, we toss around is it's made you acceptable, but in your acceptance, your death to God, your unis evaporates, and so there's a new creature.
That's right.
And all of our conversations are trying to unravel this mystery of how can this be in this world, but it's not in this world, it's of another.
As in your new creature, and it's a different order, a different genus, a different class than a human.
Right.
Because it's his own seed. God's own seed has gotten him the victory. So your view as a punk of flesh are no more to be tested. You're just to be seen as having renewed your mind, so your mind is now in agreement. And the only way that can happen is by emptying. So that's just another word for death.
See, the confusing part is you keep saying he, but then you don't exist, but you're dead, but you live, but you don't. Those are bad structural words to try and understand a concept that's beyond you.
So I say it's crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's an exchange.
Yeah.
You've exchanged gods. No matter who you thought you believed in, as long as you're using your mind, you're a child of Satan. Remember, Jesus called the Jews that were believing on him, you are of your father, the devil. Because they were using their mind to try to comprehend him. And what did he do? He pushed them over the cliff until they wanted to kill him. And by 10 verses. Tammuz is in all cultures. He's the resurrection god. But he's not the right god.
By whom are you being resurrected to where you exist?
Well, if you believe that you have received the gift of God as you, as Gary or Oli or Tom, then you believe not in Jesus Christ, you believe in Tammuz. And his god is Molech.
This addresses the whole mind issue, in that if your mind is in play, all it can do is look for something to worship. And that's as righteous as your mind can get, thinking, I'm just seeking God. You know, I've given my life, I'm looking for God. Well, it's still your mind in play.
Yeah, you hadn't reached poverty.
Yeah.
Now you've got Tammuz to play with.
Yeah, so the better guy's one on the ground on his face saying, forgive me, God, I'm a sinner. I need your grace.
Yeah, it's so simple. He lives, I'm dead. So there's nothing about my mind or what my mind says that is trustworthy. Well, that's probably a good place to stop. But I want to spend some more time on atonement when we do it again, of what burnt offering and the other sweet savor sacrifices have to do with atonement. All right.
All right.
Is there anything becoming a little clearer, I hope?
It's always been clear.
All right, take a big guy.